What's up? Welcome to Poke Sports, the competitive Pokemon podcast. I'm Mike, and I play with one Pokemon on the field, guy.
I'm Kevin. Merry Christmas.
What are you talking about, dude? Crody, we're going to be talking Crody. Pokemon today. All right. Today, I'm not Mike. I'm Clarence, and Clarence has had a one big year.
I can't take you seriously.
What you talking about, fam?
Oh, no. You gone full Toronto.
What you mean, man?
So why don't you talk like this usually?
Why don't I talk like this? I do talk like this. What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to hear this all episode.
My dude.
All right, okay, if you're going to be talking like that, I'm going to be talking like from
New York. No. I'm out.
Let's go full New York, Kevin. All right. Where are you going?
I'm out. I'm back.
He took the beanie off. He's back. He's Mikey. Welcome back, Mike.
Welcome back. It's Pokemon. And most of the people have clicked off and stopped listening.
It's okay, fam.
Yo, guy. Don't even trip. If the business is true.
What does that even mean?
It means if the business is true and you left your moms in the hood. Oh, somebody was smoked at you. I can tell you what every one of those words mean.
I can't. And people say that New York accents are bad and we have a lot of slang. I didn't understand a word Mike said for the first minute and a half.
That's fair. I've realized just now how long I've lived here. And that is all my life.
That is every second of your existence, yes. Yeah.
So to answer your question, why don't I talk like that? Because I don't know, man. I wasn't exposed to whatever everyone else down in Toronto was
exposed to. Well, you're kind of a suburban baby. Maybe that's why. So like if you're born downtown, that's what you sound like?
Probably.
Oh, okay.
No, I think most people downtown sound pretty normal as well.
So where does this come from?
I sent you a TikTok that basically was a person with the common Toronto accent.
Call me on my cell phone.
Yeah. Have you been liking the expansion?
How have I been expanding? I've been forcing my expansion. That's what I've been doing. Okay. No, I mean, honestly, I haven't, as bad as it sounds, ever since I got the Legends, I haven't touched the thing again because I've just been playing Battle Stadium. But I have been playing. I actually did get my Ball Guy helmet.
Nice.
Because I felt like that was a priority.
It is.
Now I have a Ball Guy helmet, which is nice because as much as I love the Daft Punk helmet, it covers my face, which covers my character's glasses, which no longer looks like me. So at least with this Ball Guy helmet, you have the Ball Guy helmet, you have the mouth and eyes open. It actually still has the glasses with the helmet on. I thought that was pretty cool.
Perfect.
And you got Ball Guy in the back of your head.
See, I think that we Poke Sports have like kind of taken over the Ball Guy identity.
Yes.
Like it is very much our thing.
Mm-hmm.
I am very much a Ball Guy stan. I am as much a fan of Ball Guy as I am a fan of the dad standing in the rafters, supportive dad, back in Sword and Shield.
Sword and Shield is our personality. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very true.
It is literally our logo, a sword and a shield.
Some people are just now putting that together and they're like, whoa, wait, it's like, whoa, what, really?
I wonder, do you think people don't get it? There might be people out there just like, oh, they just like battling and that means battling. I don't know. You defend and you
maybe
slash. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's a sword and a shield.
This is a new look for me. I'm standing Mike today.
I'm also standing, Kevin.
I have joined you in the realm of standing.
Yeah, you've been editing my videos where I'm just standing.
Yeah.
You're seeing that I jump around a lot.
And I mentioned this in the preach too, but you might record standing, but I edit lying down. I am horizontal when I
edit. Oh, horizontal, Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like Archaludon. Have you ever seen Archaludon attack? He turns horizontal too.
Bam. Yeah, exactly. So for those who are watching the video version of the podcast, you'll see standing Mike.
It always baffles me when people are like, you guys don't sound anything like the podcast. Like what we thought you sound like. We've gotten that comment a lot. Like when people are just like heavy podcast listeners and they don't watch the video version and they're just like, yeah, your face still match your voice. Cause in my brain, my face matches my voice. And in your brain, I'm sure your face matches your voice. And to me, Mike's face matches his voice.
Well, this is the only voice that I've had for like at least 15 years. So
at least,
at least. So I am quite used to it. And I mean, it's weird too when you like edit your own videos, which we did for the longest time before I started editing everything.
Mike the editor.
Mike the editor, basically. it's like you have to get very comfortable with listening to your own voice if you want to not cringe into infinity after, you know, editing 1,000 of these things.
A lot of people at my job, sometimes I have to make announcements on the loudspeaker. They're like, Kevin, how do you listen to your own voice like that? How do you make an announcement? I'm like, they don't know I do this for a living, but in my brain, I'm like, yeah, I do this every single day of my life. Exactly, I know what I sound like. Like, I got over it. I get it. It's not going to sound, because voices don't sound the same in your head as they do to people, right? Like, that's the whole thing. That's why it sounds weird when you listen to it versus
I can't tell the difference anymore.
It all melts.
Yeah, I cannot tell the difference anymore. If I'm standing here and I record something and I listen to it back, I'm like, yeah, okay, that's my voice.
Do we have the same headphones still? Do we still have the the Audio Technicas?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we do. Okay, so with these are noise canceling. So my voice right now sounds muffled. But the second I take these off, I hear, you know, what everyone else hears.
Right. Yeah. Oh, okay. You know, yeah. You know what? You're right. You're right.
So there's that difference a little bit, I guess.
That's true. There's a little bit of a difference there. I do like to have one ear off a little bit just so that I can hear myself.
DJ Mike over here.
I don't understand why DJs do that.
To hear the crowd reacting. I don't know.
Let's
ask Bruno. Bruno, why do you do that? Why do DJs do this?
I have been completing my decks in Scarlet and Violet.
What do we get for completing our decks this time?
I don't know. I'll tell you when I do it. So back in my Australian copy, and for those who have been watching for a while, you know that Michael made a mistake and continued to play the Australian copy after he got it a day early. But I started playing a new game on my,
Canadian
North American copy. And I completed the game, but I didn't catch all the Pokemon. So now I'm like in the process of catching all the Pokemon, mostly so that I could get Raging Bolt and Gouging Fire. But like I have so many of them now, even though I've got them a while ago, that now I'm just like, oh, let's finish the decks. Why not?
Yeah, you're close.
Yeah.
20 something off.
I am very close. Yeah. At this point, I'm like, I just need a couple of the Violet onlys. I need a couple of the trade evolutions. Like stuff that we could bang out in like a night if we really wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But
you could train between your Canadian Switch and your Australian Switch.
I could. They're on the same Switch.
Oh, they're on the same console. Never mind. Yeah. Well, you can use one of your four other Switches to.
This is true. I might have to bust one open.
Ooh. I just realized we got to buy a Switch Pro next year, don't we?
Yeah.
That's going to be on our Christmas list.
Switch
Is that
two,
official
Switch
yet?
Pro.
Something's coming this year, right?
Something's coming.
We know.
We all know that something's coming, and it's been leaked to high heavens that something is on its way.
When did Switch come out? That was 2017, because that's when Breath of the Wild came out. How many years ago is that? 3 plus 6? Or
17.
We're on the 7th year?
I've been playing Breath of the Wild for 17 years.
I believe it.
Yeah, my dad works at Nintendo.
Beta, alpha.
Beta. We are going to be talking about so many things today. We've got the San Antonio Regional that happened December 16th and 17th. We've got Nina Pogibros' tournaments. We've got
Regulation F stuff.
We've got Q&A. But really, I'm just curious from your point of view, because you've been playing a ton of Regulation F for the channel. What has that been like for you?
Honestly, it's a breath of fresh air. We don't exactly know what Regulation F is going to be technically. Like, we don't know if the new Paradox Mons are going to be there, because we were introduced to Walking Wake and Iron Leaves, but where does it go? A long time ago.
Thank you.
But they weren't allowed. I feel like this is the right time to allow them, but who knows? Maybe Game Freak disagrees. We don't know if the Gouging Fire is going to be there. We don't know if the Iron Boulder is going to be there. Mm-hmm. But for sure, I think most people are on the are agreeing that Archaludon and Hydrapple are going to be there. Which is, hey, fine. Two fun new Pokemon, two very good Pokemon. I think Archaludon and Raging Bolt are probably the two best new Pokemon that we got. Because Raging Bolt, honestly, that thing slaps so hard. No pun intended. It thunder slaps so hard.
Absolutely.
And it's typing. And I think Raging Bolt has to come out now because Regulation G is presumably going to be when Miraidon comes out. And then you're just going to be fighting for a spot between Raging Bolt and Miraidon on your team.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, plus they're, by the way, this is a new little piece of news for you. If you don't know, if you didn't get a chance to get Walking Wake or Iron Leaves, you're going to have another chance between Sunday, December 24th and Sunday, January 7th to go and get them. Now, because that's going to be a thing, I can only guess that they're like really gearing up to get them in the regulation. Right,
because
the other ones are available as the other static encounter mons that are already available in VGC. So it's like, why not?
I also wouldn't be surprised if, like, at the end of that event, because that's how you get like the almighty ones, right? So
right.
Maybe after the event, they're gonna be like, okay, well now Mr. Snacksworth will give you this candy or something. I don't know. You never.
That's
know.
True. They have created such a good opportunity for themselves to go and like just put any Pokemon in the game.
Oh yeah.
To just be like, yeah, go and do a couple more group barbecues and see what happens with Mr. Snacksworth. He gives you another thing. It's like,
ooh. Oh, ever since the last episode, we found out how to get Meloetta, everybody.
Yeah, it's true.
You got to go to a place, you got to spin three times, and you got to go into the sepia tome on your camera, and then you got to look around, and eventually it'll pop up.
Did you get it?
No, it's so much work. It's so much work for a Pokemon I'll never be able to use unless they decide to make a regulation or a Series 13 again.
Right. They gave me more than two steps to do something, so I'm like, nah. I'll get maybe. But no, I did it, and it's a fun little thing. If you know exactly what to do, it's pretty fun. You do have to spin clockwise, which is something I wasn't doing.
Oh my God, there's a direction.
Yeah. Jeez. That is something I wasn't doing the whole time because everybody, like nobody really knew the exact directions to give. So whenever I came across somebody on TikTok, they were always like, yeah, okay, spin. And I'm like, okay, I'm doing that.
It's not working.
It's not working.
This, I like this because it gives me like old school Gen 3 Reggie vibes where you had to read Braille, go to certain steps, click certain moves, use certain HMs in certain locations that make absolutely no sense. And then eventually a hole will open in the wall. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like where this like random nonsense will happen that no one will ever know unless you Google it. Like,
right.
No, the fact that someone accidentally comes across this is mind boggling.
I feel like this Regulation F, in quotations,
it's actually Regulation F.
Regulation F that we're dealing with right now. It kind of feels like Series Zero of Scarlet and Violet, where like everybody was just kind of guessing, making as informed a guess that they can of what the meta was going to be. And this time, that time around, Pokemon was like, no, actually, all of the things that you think Regulation or Series One is going to be, it's not that. Take your paradoxes, get them out of here. Take your Ruinous, get them out of here. But now they're already in the meta. Most of, you know, the brothers and sisters and cousins of Roaring, Raging Bolt and Iron Leaves and Iron Boulder and like all of those trios, they're in there already. The rest of the paradoxes are in there already. It only makes sense that they're going to add them, lest they add five new Pokemon.
Yeah. I mean, there's also worth mentioning that, sure, there's a lot of Pokemon coming in from the DLC to the returning Pokemon. I think a big contender right now, Primarina is kind of cracked.
I want to hear about so that. Good. I do think that to say that, like, the trios and the, well, just the trios, really, to say, like, they're not coming into the meta, I think is so silly.
I think they're coming. Yeah, yeah.
I think they've gotta. Because, like, what are they gonna do? Make another Regulation G with six new Pokemon? Like,
no, I think it's pretty much confirmed that Regulation G is gonna be a single restricted mon, and that's gonna be our world's meta. Because we got no restricted mons last worlds. this world's meta, it's going to be one restricted mon, and the next world's meta is going to be two restricted mons. Like, yeah, that's just the most obvious thing. They could throw a curveball at us, but that's kind of like the most realistic situation that we're in right now.
That would be neat. But yeah, Primarina.
Yeah, Primarina is kind of stupid. It's actually really good because of a few factors. Primarina originally in Series 6 of Sword and Shield was very popular because they banned the top 10. But I think because they banned the top 10, I said Primarina in Series 6 and my phone thought I said Siri. Okay, no, I didn't do that. So,
Reggie, hey, Google.
Reggie, Google. Primarina was really good in Series 6, but it was because of Dynamax. It was a big reason. Then Series 6 came along. They introduced a new Pokemon, a new friend in the Iron Crown Tundra, called Tapu Fini. And then Tapu Fini was like, get out, Prim.
Door crash sounds.
I'm the new water fairy in town. I stop statuses and half dragon moves.
Right. And stop terrains.
Yeah. I guess what? Tapu Fini's not here. So we got another water fairy type. Very good typing. Very good stop to Urshifu. And like now you can terrestrialize it into a grass type. Now you can terrestrialize it into a fire type. Stop it from being weak to the Iron Hands. Hit the Iron Hands back with a Moon Blast. I think just having 100% accurate water move makes you so much better now that Scald is gone, right? Scald isn't gone, but it's on a lot less Pokemon. It's a little bit more exclusive. If a Pokemon carries Scald, it's already inevitably better than another Pokemon that doesn't. So I think Primarina just having access to Liquid Voice, Hyper Voice, to spread move, 100% accurate water move, is crazy. And its tankiness is pretty good.
We saw that a little bit with Sylveon, where like it was good. It worked, but the problem I think with it was that like the stats weren't all there for it. It had just being a solid fairy type doesn't make it better than other fairy types in the meta. So to have like Primarina in there, which you know is a hard counter to a lot of the nastiness in the meta just by virtue of it being a water type that can do things, is really good.
I think also we're in a very physical heavy meta right now, right?
Yes.
You have five physical attackers and a Tornadus. That's the team. Like, that's pretty much what we're going for right now. Maybe you have a Fluttermane, maybe you don't. Primarina gives you a secondary option to be like, hey, I don't want to lose to Incineroar. Primarina, what does Incineroar do to this thing?
Right.
Nothing. And on top of that, you get to run another special water type. You get to take advantage of two very good stab moves, right? Fairy, water. Incredible. Fairy and anything in general is probably incredible. And I don't know. It's a pretty good place for Primarina.
I think this might be actually a pretty good time to get into. Yeah.
The Grasswater Fire Core right now is actually pretty sick with Rillaboom, Incineroar, Primarina.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. You get the triple starter Firewater Grass Core, and each of them terrestrializes to the different ones. So the Rillaboom will go fire, the Incin will go water, and the Prim will go grass. So you got two separate grass, water, fire starter cores on the same team.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's nutty.
That's really fun. I like that. Okay, this sounds like a pretty good time to jump into the Q&A from last week, actually. This is something we usually do at the end, but I think I'm going to shove it to the beginning because the thing I asked was favorite thing about the Indigo disc so far? And some of the answers were really cool, actually. Josh says how easy it makes building competitive Pokemon now between shards and high value items.
Have you gone to the secret room in the?
I did.
Yeah. You get a lot of shards from each typing. If you are starved for shards, there's a secret room in the Area Zero that you can go to. You need the fly mechanic to get there, though.
Right. Once you've gone and completed everything in all of the game, pretty much, if you're just looking for stuff to do, there's a secret area zero,
and then you can also get a bunch of stuff. Stellar Terra shards if you fly up to the disco ball. Yeah, you got that too.
Yeah.
Mike's out there. Mike's gaming.
I don't know, man. Like, I haven't been on the channel for the past couple of days apart from the podcast, but
yes,
I've been playing.
You're behind the scenes.
I've been behind the scenes. Which is, that's a funny thing, actually. For a video recently, I went and wrote a couple of comments Just alongside you playing. And people seem to really like that.
Yeah,
I might play around with like how they appear, but
I gotta taste the mic.
It was cool to kind of like insert myself in a Kevin video. So
I wonder how big we're gonna get before people are like, "Who's this guy again?" Because there was a time where there was that like PokeSports hiatus.
Yeah,
and like Series 12, where it's like a lot of Kevin videos, and you came back for like editing.
4 months before I started doing anything.
And you came back, and they're like, "Who's this guy? He's been here the whole time, guys."
I've been here the whole time. Drop My Wallet says the terrarium is beautiful and the returning new Pokemon are overall awesome. And I agree. I think a lot of the returning Pokemon have been made a little bit better.
Okay.
We're going to talk about some Pokemon that we are excited for right after this with a quick game of Dexit. But it's cool to see new Pokemon running around that like we haven't seen in a couple of generations or maybe even just one generation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think they're going to be possible game changers, possible experiments, possible flashes in the pan.
There's a lot of Pokemon that also got different moves that they didn't used to get as well.
Yeah.
Did you see that new Foo video?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the one with the Malamar?
I think so.
So the Malamar has skill swap, right? For those of you that didn't see this. So the Malamar has skill swap. Skill swapped the super sweet syrup from the Hydrapple next to it. So the Hydrapple jumps in, activates super sweet syrup, gets the evasion, skill swaps contrary onto the Hydrapple, and then reactivates super sweet syrup on the Malamar. So you have the -2 evasion right away on the opposing side of the field. And then now the Hydrapple with contrary is going for Leaf Storms and Draco Meteors.
Yeah.
And instead of going -2, goes to +2 each time. And it's never missing because everything is -2 evasion.
It's so good. And it's so fun to use.
So shout out to Foo. That was a good one.
Absolutely.
A really good one.
Yeah. If anyone wants to go and build that team and pop that on the channel, I'll absolutely go and play that. You pop that on the Discord. David says, flying is so nice, but the item printer is the best. Have you tried the item printer yet?
I have not, no. But I heard you. It's actually really good.
Oh, yeah.
It's just Cram-O-Matic again, isn't it?
It's Cram-O-Matic, but you can... So all of those Pokemon ingredients, like the Drillbur claws that you've been collecting by just...
All the garbage, yes.
Yeah, all the garbage. You can go and feed that to the item printer, and it will, in return, give you a bunch of items.
Oh, actual useful things.
Actual useful things, yeah.
Why can't life be like this? Like, why can't I just throw a bunch of garbage into a box and get useful things?
Yeah. Let me just throw all my cheese string wrappers into a box and get a new camera out of that.
Was that your snack before the podcast?
Listen.
Cheese string and bubble tea. That's a lot of milk in one day, Mike. How are you not breaking out? A drinks bubble tea.
You think I'm not breaking out? Yeah. Let's see. Bob McPlay says, Regulation F on Showdown, Walking Wake, Hisuian Lilligant, Torkoal is my favorite core right now. Partnered with PsySpam is fun.
Big fan.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to see PsySpam gameplay, join our Patreon. You got a lot of it there. That's pretty much the only thing I do.
Have fun with that. It's fun.
I'm trying to win and it's working. Yeah.
Steve Asking Chop says you can grind materials by rubber banding your left stick and letting your Synchrodmon run in circles since they automatically attack wild Pokemon. Oh. Oh. Really?
Oh.
That's genius, because after a while, the Pokemon like falls behind enough to kind of despawn. But if you just keep your Pokemon active.
So if you just spin in an actual circle,
it farms. He says next also Squirtle gaming. Squad is officially back. Hey. Yeah. Let's see. Strong Boy Astro. Oh, this is a good one. We'll segue into some other stuff with this. It says, so Petchorunt isn't obtainable yet, and that's making the leakers very excited because they think there's actually a third DLC coming. Also, people are just now learning about Venusaur, and that's so cute.
Are people just learning about Venusaur?
Well, it's missing for so long. Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Now you could fire Terra a Weather Ball, which is kind of fun.
I think Venusaur has gotten a bad rap from people who haven't played VGC before. Mainly because people who played like red, blue, yellow, a good handful of people only went with either Charizard or Blastoise. Venusaur was like often left to the side.
Mm-hmm. No, do you think that's because it was red and blue here? Do you think people in Japan just chose Venusaur because it was green?
I do think that.
Because they got, it might be it.
Absolutely do think that, yeah. But yeah, so I mean, seeing Venusaur actually, you know, seeing play and seeing it good and using solar beams in the sun and stuff, that's fun.
I just realized something. Red, blue, yellow, and green are the only games that didn't have the legendaries as the box art.
That is correct.
Huh.
Yeah.
Good to know. Don't know what difference this makes in my life, but I just noticed. Because in my brain, I was just like, yeah, why would they just leave one out? And then I realized, oh, because it's usually two.
Right. They didn't make a red legendary and a blue legendary and a green legendary.
Yeah.
They threw in Zapdos for some reason. It could have been Moltres, Articuno, and Zapdos. Moltres, Articuno, and Green Dose.
Green, yeah, Grass Flying.
Leaf Dose.
Jumpluff. Just Jumpluff.
Moltres, Articuno, and Jumpluff is great.
The three flying legends.
I love that.
Tropius.
Last one. Aiden says, surprised how well the BBQ system works as well as the flight. Yes. Stellar Terra seems cool. I see it being very niche use for some mons with exceptional coverage. New terrain weather wars will be intense. Have you come across a lot of people with Stellar Pokemon?
On the first 2 days, yes, but I've never seen it since. Like, I'm being honest, I've never seen it since. It's very rare, and that's probably because I do think it's worse most of the time. I hate to be the one to step on top of the new mechanic that was introduced. I don't think it's good enough to replace a regular Terra, because regularly you get to keep the stab on the old Terras anyway. If they went ahead and changed that, then Stellar would be great.
Right.
But because you get to keep the original stab plus add an additional one when you Terastalize, most Pokemon in VGC have two typings that are both stab, a coverage move, and protect. So what's the point of Stellar, really? You know, it's...
So I think, yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like, Stellar, we have a little bit more information on it this week than we did last week. I think last week we were still kind of feeling it out and trying to understand what exactly it meant. But Stellar type essentially lets you use each of your move with a boost once. So if you have three different types of moves, you can use a rock type move, a grass type move, and a water type move, and get a boost for each of those. If you have three rock type moves, you're only going to get a boost for that first rock type move that you use.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing. For moves that are of your same type, so say you're a Alolan Golem going for a rock type move. It's rock and electric, right?
Yes.
Yes. If you're an Alolan Golem for going for a rock type move, that'll be a times two stab. Great. Any kind of rock move after that is back to 1.5.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing with the electric move. If you go for an electric move, that is two times stab. And then you go for the rock type move, that's two times stab. But then the next time you go for the rock or the electric move, that's back to 1.5. Now, if you go for an explosion, a normal type move, you would think that because you're of a Terra type, that you would get, like, say, a 1.5 times stab. That's not true. You get a 1.2 times stab. Same type of attack bonus.
A little bit more disappointing.
Which is, to put it in perspective, the same if you put, like, a Black Glasses on another Pokemon and, like, upped their dark type moves by 20% there.
Or, like, but actually, any kind of plate.
Yeah.
I understand exactly the point you were going for. But actually, in a real-life scenario, I'm thinking about it now. Maybe Stellar type is pretty decent on a Alolan Golem. Because you have Galvanize that'll turn it into an electric type move, and then that's true. Two times stab on top of your electric type move, and you only get to use it once anyway.
Well, then why don't you Terra electric?
Yeah, you could just do anything else. Really.
Well, I guess then. Well, but then you're.
Why don't you just normal gem and?
But then you're super weak to ground. But you're already super weak to ground. Alolan Golem's weird, man.
Because you know what I think would have fixed it, but probably broken Stellar.
Yeah.
Just make you weak to nothing and neutral to everything.
If it gave you some kind of defensive capability to it, it would be a great
just neutral to everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No, typings don't exist. I am not a typing. You are not typing to me. That's it. But again, that would have broken it. Everyone to run Stellar Terror, and then we would have just had Stellar Terrors running around all day. So
I don't mind the one-time use of it. Like the one-time use, if you use a rock type, then you can't use a rock type move again with that bonus if they had that defensive capability to it. I think it would be a little bit more balanced if they did have that, but they do not. Mm. So it's unfortunate, but it is.
The one Pokemon you want Stellar Terror on is Terrapagos. Yeah. I promise that's a good one.
Once you can, if you can ever put Terrapagos in to your team in a regulation, you're going to want to put Terrapagos in.
Not an F.
Not an F.
Maybe in G.
All right. Welcome to Dexit.
Hello.
Dexit is a very fun game that we play every now and then. It's a game where we look at the list of available Pokemon, either returning to a meta or in a meta or around us right now. And we try and guess what that Pokemon is using only their Pokedex entries.
Ooh.
Now, Kevin and I, we have before the podcast picked two Pokemon each for each other. And we're going to see if we can guess what those Pokemon are. Kevin, okay. Do you have your two Pokemon with you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. How about you go first?
All right, you got it. From Legends Arceus.
Oh, okay.
Use of a strange item caused this Pokemon to evolve. Fireballs launched from the ends of its tube-like arms are hot enough to melt an iron pot in an instant.
Okay. Now, how did you say it evolved?
With a strange item.
A strange item has caused this guy to evolve. Okay. So that's from Legends Arceus. How about you give me another one?
It blasts fireballs over 3,600 degrees Fahrenheit. Let me translate that for you real quick, Mike. Hey, Siri. It's very hot.
Oh, got it.
Out of its arms, its breath also sears and sizzles. It's got hot breath and got hot arms.
It's got hot breath, hot arms. Cool. I think I have an idea, but let's hear one more.
It lives in volcanic craters.
Okay. All right. Lives in volcanic craters. You know what that makes me think of? That makes me think of Cinnabar Island, the fight against Blaine with that Charizard against that one guy and picked him up and flew him around the earth a couple times, slammed him down. Now he evolves with a strange item, so that's got to be Magmortar.
It's Magmortar. I don't understand tube-like arms. Those are not tubes.
But you know what? That did it for me.
Oh, those are tubes?
When you said tube-like arms, I was like, oh, well, there it is.
Fun fact. We're going to bring this, going to hop back into the competitive space.
Yeah.
Did you know that they gave Follow Me back to both Magmortar and Electivire?
Really?
Which also means Electabuzz, which is a lot faster and a lot tankier than Electivire, with an Eviolite, obviously. And Magmar also have Follow Me. They are new Follow Me users.
Now, do you think those are going to be good Follow Me users?
Maybe for a YouTube video.
Okay. I think that could be interesting, but I don't see why just monotype fire Follow Me user or monotype electric Follow Me user would be particularly usable.
So back in the day, in the Pokemon Coliseum days, when they first decided to make a game that was only double battles, they gave Follow Me to a lot of Pokemon. At the time, there were only three generations out, so they gave Follow Me to Magmar and Electabuzz, but eventually took them out once they released Diamond and Pearl. They weren't learnable anymore unless they were transferred from Coliseum, which, was nearly impossible to do without genning. But also, there was a third Pokemon in there that they gave Follow Me to that everyone forgot about, and currently, if it had Follow Me, it would be absolutely broken. That Pokemon is Dusclops.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that would be so broken. Imagine if Dusclops had Follow Me. Oh, gross. That'd be so good.
Disgusting.
But they decided not to give it to him this time.
Fine. That's a good call.
He doesn't deserve it.
Dusclops has his fun.
He's got the hands. He's got the hands for it. He has a finger to wiggle, He has more fingers than Magmortar has. He has tubes.
Nightwater's got tubes. Okay. I've got one for you.
All right.
Here we go. From, you know what? I'm not even going to tell you where it's from.
Okay.
It has mastered.
I mean, it's only one game.
It's more than one game. It's okay. More than one game. It has mastered fast and powerful fighting moves. It grows a beard of fire.
A beard of fire?
Beard
and
of
fighting
fire.
Moves? Okay, I need another one. What the heck? You could have up to three.
That's
I'm use
fair.
All
yes.
three.
It can throw a fire punch by setting its fists on fire with its fiery chin. This dex is all about its fire beard, man. It cares deeply about its friends.
Excuse me? It cares deeply about its friends?
Why would they just shoehorn that one in there?
What does that even mean? We got a compassionate fire face. I don't.
Yeah. This Pokemon uses its blades of grass to cut through the opponents. They also like to go to the grocery store on Sundays.
That's
like,
the worst time.
Not related.
It's the worst time to go to a grocery store.
Yeah, that's true. Contrary. It's a contrary Pokemon then.
And before, this is just gouging fire.
Yeah, right? Right?
Okay, what's the last one? I'm still at a loss.
Sure.
I don't know.
A flaring beard of fire. A flaring beard of fire is proof that it is fired up. It is adept at using many different moves. What a weird thing to say.
You picked the most goated Dexit ever. Because I legitimately don't know.
Well, what can we get from this? The first one told you about
it. Is this a starter?
It told you about its beard of fire and its powerful fighting moves. That can tell you something pretty important.
So it's either Infernape, Emboar, or Blaziken.
Now, which one of those things has a beard of fire?
I'm going to guess Emboar.
That's right. It's Emboar.
Yeah, okay. I got there. I was like, okay. Firefighting. And I didn't know that Emboar had so many friends, though. I learned something about Emboar today. He's just a friendly guy.
It's all about its friends. It fights for its friends. And the beard of fire. I did not. I
Does
would not consider
though?
That a beard of
yeah,
fire.
Like. I didn't think it had one.
It has fire coming out of it. Would
I guess
I call it a
kind
beard?
Of is.
I don't know.
That's more like a fire scarf.
Yeah. It has a scarf made of fire and it loves its friends.
Absolutely loves them.
Can't get enough. All right. You want to do the next one?
Yeah.
Okay. Go for it.
From, I'm not going to tell you because you didn't tell me.
Yeah.
They have lightning-like movements. When this Pokemon runs at full speed, the sound of thunder reverberates.
Ooh, it's a fast boy. Okay, next one.
This ill-tempered Pokemon is dangerous because when it's angry, it shoots lightning from its mane in all directions.
Oh, it's got a mane. Okay, it's angry and it's lightning. Cool. I think I'm on the path. Go ahead, next one.
Oh, you're going to be so sad because there is no new... All the other ones are the same.
I think this is kind of an angry Zoltar. An angry Zoltar. A perturbed...
A raging Bolter.
Huh?
It's not that one.
It's not Raging Bolt?
Nope. Nuh-uh. You think it is, but it's not.
Okay. Well, hold on, because there's
What's crazy
one.
Is that there are other entries... Okay. There's exactly 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 total entries, but they're all the same.
Oh.
They didn't change.
They copied and pasted.
Yeah.
Is Zeraora in this game?
No.
Oh. Okay. Wow. This is.
Let me know if you want to repeat. But
I would like you to repeat the first one. Yeah.
They have lightning-like movements. When this Pokemon run at full speed, the sound of thunder reverberates. So it's a fast lightning boy with a mane is essentially the only hints this gives you.
It's a fast
and it's very angry.
Okay. So it can't be Plusle.
Yes.
Hold on. There. We got the zebras. Zebstrika.
You got it.
Hey,
so
okay.
It can't be Plusle. Plusle's not angry.
He's just not a very angry boy.
Fun fact, did you know Zebstrika has actually pretty decent abilities? It just sucks as a Pokemon. It has Lightning Rod, Motor Drive, and Sap Sipper. All notoriously very good abilities.
I think that one, it has a case of the you get this Pokemon early in its generation itis.
Yes, where it like doesn't even have a base 500 stat total.
Yeah, the stats aren't meant to be good. They're not good so that you can get better Pokemon later on in the game.
This needs an evolution.
Maybe. Yeah. 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 Like a late stage evolution. They should do that for a lot of like early game Pokemon. Do that for Raticate. Well, yeah. What do you mean, man? Like just, you know, give Raticate a late stage evolution where you have to go and defeat a legendary Pokemon with it in order to have
with
it.
With the fear strat. Oh, they just give it one HP.
Oh.
But Wonder Guard. Normal type Wonder Guard.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Wonder Guard Retastrophe. That's the name of that Pokemon.
Retastrophe.
Listen, they can make Annihilate. They're going to make Retastrophe. That one came to me so quick, and I'm so proud of myself.
I'm proud of you, too.
It's Rattata, wow. Raticate, and Retastrophe. It's a dark type again. Oops.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Darken Bug.
Okay.
Don't know how it got there.
How did it become a bug? How did it possibly become a bug? Do we have any dark bug types?
Yes. We just got one. Lokix.
Oh, yeah. Lokix. It's not good.
No.
Okay. Cool. Here we go. I've got one for you.
It also could use an evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Lotastrophe.
Lotastrophe. That's it. Here we go.
Lotastrokix.
Okay. It eats dust in the atmosphere. What? The composition of the dust determines something.
Okay.
If I had said the rest of that,
I feel like you're cutting a lot of this out, but okay.
Just
next
the last
one.
Part. Just the last part. Yeah, yeah. Originally making its home in the ozone layer, it hurtles to the ground when the shell enclosing its body grows too heavy.
Minior, baby.
There
come
it
on.
Is.
All come right. on. I got there. I know Minior is one of your favorite Pokemon, too. It's legitimately one of my favorite Pokemon. I love that it comes in different colors.
Yeah.
And the shiny one's black, so that's cool.
I think Shields Down is such an interesting mechanic.
We could play something. I'm sure we can figure something. Guys, make Minior teams and send them to PokeSports. That, sure that's going to be that. Mike's first video back is going to be a Minior team.
Oh, I would love that so much.
That was like a shell smash user back in the day, right? It's been so long.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And it could get away with it because it had such high base stats. And Shields Down, again, for those who haven't experienced Minior in the longest time. When its HP drops to half or less, this says this Pokemon shell breaks and becomes aggressive.
I just realized something.
What?
This used to do shell smash, white herb, acrobatics back in the day, right?
It sure did.
Now you can flying sure Terra did. And two times stab that.
So what it would do is Ooh. Because it had that white herb, it would cleanse its defense drops. Meteor form has base 100 defense and base 100 special defense with base 60 speed. If you break that Minior shield, then it goes and has 100 attack, 100 special attack, and 120 speed. If you pair that with a shell smash, you have times two attack at base 100. You have times two speed at base 120. Like, you're outspeeding most things.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you can just have that shield break, then you're good to go.
Yeah, and now you have Flying Terra acrobatics too, which becomes base 110 times two stab.
Didn't even on think a about times- that.
Yeah, yeah. Now you have that option. Now you just listen. It's not gonna be awful. Oh, you want to know something else you could do?
Because
This is what I did with like a Sceptile on the channel, or what I will be doing. Because you guys probably haven't seen it yet.
Yes,
is a mirror herb on this guy.
Mm.
You can swagger the other side and give yourself the plus two flying terror right away. You don't even need the shell smash. You just start smacking things.
I like it. I think, yeah, if you have a priority swagger that you can use, sure.
You would need a Thunderous, yeah.
Yeah, because the downside to Minior is that it has that base 60 speed when it's in its shell form. So, like, if you go and use your shell smash on that first turn, you are waiting until the end of the turn pretty much for you to use it. So as long as you have a priority Swagger, you can get your first attack off, not have to worry about, you know, setting up that turn. And whenever you get the chance to attack, either your shell breaks and you attack even harder, or your shell doesn't break and you just get a free attack off. That's pretty good.
So, you know, what would be really good for a Minior would be a follow me user that's resistant to electric, because you're weak to electric. Like, say, Electabuzz.
Oh. Is that faster than Minior at 120?
It's 105. It's actually fast, not that fast. Yeah.
It's close.
Well, follow me is plus 1,000 priority.
Yeah, yeah, so. But then you can't swagger.
Do anything else afterwards. Right. Yeah.
You need three Pokemon then. You need to swagger, you need to follow me, and you need to Minior.
I guess the reason it works with Sceptile is like Unburden or something.
Sure. All right. December 16th and 17th, we had San Antonio Regionals.
Yes.
Over in, you guessed it, San Antonio.
Before we start this, we should also mention there's a new epilogue to the DLC coming out in January. Like,
yeah, so that whole thing in the...
We found out when Petron is coming back, right. Which is funny because that same day, Nintendo was cease and desisting every account that posted Petron on it.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, they were going on a cease and desist spree. They were taking videos down, everything. So, hey, we got an epilogue coming out, and I guess that's when Petrarch is coming.
That's so funny. They like cleansed the internet, and then they released it on their own.
But this is interesting as well, because I don't know if they were originally planning on this being released on Pokemon Day, because that is coming February 25th. They have to announce something. That's like a law. That's like, you know how we have the Newton's Law of Gravity? Like, this is the Pokemon's Law of Pokemon Day.
Yeah, they can't not.
Yeah, it's illegal. So maybe originally this was supposed to be announced on Pokemon Day, but since it's already leaked out because they decided to upload it in the DLC and data mines exist, oops, maybe they're just forced to release this early now.
There's got to be one person at the Pokemon company who goes up to another one of the devs and it's just like, you can't keep doing this.
It's like, can't we just patch it in later?
Yeah. Just make an early build of it and upload it later. Have them download the content. Downloadable content. But they can't make a whole DLC revolving around one Pokemon. They would need to bring other Pokemon in too. Yeah. So they're just calling it an epilogue. It's a quick little story. And they did say that you need to go and finish like the rest of the game to make this like make sense. So like, yeah, okay, cool. They're giving people time to go and finish the game. And then they're giving something a little bit more just to like put a nice little lid on Scarlet and Violet.
Which, I'm a lot less stressed.
I don't think they're going to give another DLC.
We'll see. I mean, hey, Pokemon Day is coming up.
I'd love to see it. I don't think it's going to happen.
Me either. But Pokemon Day's coming.
Here it comes. All right. Can we talk about San Antonio yet? Or do you have another piece of epilogue to talk about?
This hoodie is like 3 years old.
Yeah, it is.
We could talk about that.
Oh, look at how well that's keeping up, though.
Yeah.
That's pokesports.org/collections. Yeah. I think you can go to pokesports.org/store now.
Just go to pokesports.org and find your way there.
Yeah, explore the rest of the site. See what else there is. San Antonio. December 16th and 17th, it is another Regulation E tournament. One might say that, okay.
That's dead to me now.
But until we have Regulation F tournaments in the new year, this is what we are dealing with. Now, it is cool to see, like, what people are choosing to bring for the last tournament of Regulation E. Is this the last? Or this has got to be.
Yeah,
we're going into the holidays. Yeah.
Yeah.
What people are bringing for the last tournament of Regulation E, like, because this pretty much solidifies what the first DLC plus the base level of Pokemon is. And this will all be a distant memory to us in about 3 months. Because I don't know about you, but like when I looked back at tournaments from the Iron, I want to call it the Iron Tundra so bad. And I can't call it the Iron Islands.
What's it called?
Right?
The Iron
Crown?
Mask.
The
no,
Iron.
Not that one. The Iron
Fist.
Place. The Iron.
Oh my gosh.
Sword leaves. But where is it?
The Iron. Oh no, it is not. Go.
The problem is when you type Pokemon Iron right now, everything else but that DLC will come out.
For real. The Isle of Armor.
What?
But it's not, though.
The Iron of Armor.
The Iron. Wait, did I? The Isle of Armor. Isle of Armor.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You almost broke yourself again. Oh, I'm sorry.
Because, like, the first DLC here was, like, all about Ogerpon, and it was named as such. You know, the teal mask was about Ogerpon's teal mask.
The indigo disc was about
that big old indigo disc.
Indigo disc. Yeah.
Yeah. But in that one, it's like the Isle of Armor. The you get an Urshifu. Like,
that actually makes no sense now that you mentioned it. The Crown Tundra, that actually made a little bit of sense because Calyrex is a king. Yes. Right.
The king in the north. Like,
yeah.
Man, whatever. Anyway.
Thanks, Game Freak.
Thanks, Game Freak. We have the top four. I'm sorry for everybody who is screaming at their podcasts just now, being like, oh,
it's Iron Armor. There's no iron there.
It's not iron at all. we have the top four. Coming in fourth was Joseph Ugarte, Joe UX9. Once again, placing in the top eight because he's amazing at this game.
Pretty good player or something.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Loves that King Gambit.
Loves King Gambit. And honestly, I kind of do too. I'm curious to see how that's going to translate into Regulation F. He came in with an Amoongus, Urshifu Rapid Strike, King Gambit, Dragonite, Chen Pao, and Ogerpon Hearthflame style.
You know what's crazy? Mm. The way that this top eight is lined up, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Hearthflame Ogerpons. They're all at the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have the Wellspring Ogerpons, 1 and 2 all at the top. So I think that's kind of cool.
The interesting thing about Ogerpon and the way that people have been playing Ogerpon for the past couple of months is everything is so dependent on what the rest of the group is bringing. And that could be said for every single Pokemon, but I think especially for Ogerpon. Because if you have a lot of Hearthflame Ogerpons, your Wellspring Ogerpon is going to do amazing.
That's fair, yeah.
And look at how many Hearthflame Ogerpons there are in the top eight. There are five of them.
And you remember when, like, at the beginning of Regulation E when we were trying to decide whether Ogerpon was a worth Pokemon to bring to tournaments or if that this was just the new flavor of the month and we were just going to try it out and if we're just going to devolve back into what it was? There is 7 out of 8 Ogerpons on this team.
That's right.
So you tell me if Ogerpon is a good Pokemon. I think it's pretty good.
There are more Ogerpons than there are Fluttermanes in the top eight. There are only 2 Fluttermanes and one of them was first.
Golden. Brother, there's more Regidragos in the top eight than there are Fluttermanes this time around. True. Where did it go?
More Regidragos. Weird.
If you told me 4 months ago Regidrago was going to end off Regulation E with 3 of them in the top eight, I would have said, nah.
Well,
impossible.
I do think that there was a little bit of communication that happened between the people in the top eight because those same three teams. Regidragos are the exact same teams.
Hey, listen, brother, if they all made it, it's pretty good.
I mean, right? Right. Clearly someone's figuring something out.
Maybe because there's no Fluttermanes in the top eight. That's why the Regidragos made it.
Everybody made a nice gentleman's agreement, where we're not just going to bring Fluttermane.
The opposite of a gentleman's agreement.
Yeah. Right.
The gentleman's argument.
And the person who came first had the gentleman's argument where they were like, nah, I'm going to bring a Fluttermane. Actually, it's really good. And then he won.
And then I'm going to win.
Yeah. All right. So coming in third was Justin Burns, who came in with a Heatran, Amoongus, Landorus, Therian, Chen Pao, Iron Hands, and Fluttermane.
No Urshifu, no Ogerpon.
No Urshifu in sight. The sets on all of these guys are pretty standard. One thing I will highlight is Justin Burns's Heatran did come in with Magma Storm.
Does that lock in? That might lock people in. That's why. Okay.
Yes.
Interesting. It also misses. That's why I can't win it with it.
Because you employ Kevin Luck and
you think I'm kidding. I don't.
I edit the videos. I know you're not kidding.
I think the first time I clicked Meteor Beam in my Metagross video, I missed it. I'm just like, okay. Oh, no. I missed. What was it? I was running wide lens on. It was wide lens on a Pokemon that sucked, but I missed.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know the one that you're talking about. You had 100% chances to hit on two of the moves and a 93.33.
Thunderous. It was Wild Bolt Storm. I missed a Wild Bolt Storm with wide lens somehow.
There you go. Fun stuff. Coming in second was Raghav Malavia, who came in with the King Gambit, Rillaboom, Hisuian Arcanine, Clefairy, Landorus Incarnate, and Wellspring Ogerpon.
Raghav's cooking.
Yeah.
That's a good team.
And then coming in first was Giovanni Costa, who ended up with his 2024 Worlds invite, 200 championship points and $6,000. Coming in with a Wellspring Ogerpon, a Fluttermane, Ferrigiraff, Urshifu, Iron Hands, and Golden Go. Not the first time that we have seen a Ferrigiraff just kind of sneak its way into first place. It happens too often.
Listen, Ferrigiraff is a Pokemon that can pretty much set a psychic terrain without having Rillaboom get rid of it.
Right.
It's always going to do well. And I think ever since we found out Ferrigiraff was a Pokemon, ever since we found out what its ability was, we knew it was going to be strong, because any Pokemon that can block priority is going to be relevant at all times, right? It's such a good ability, such a niche ability, but it's so useful for fake outs, useful for Aqua Jets, Rapid Strike. You know, it's great.
Right.
Sucker punches from Joseph's King Gambit, etc.
Yeah, it can take it. Yeah, so those are your top four. Again, the winner ended up with their 2024 Worlds invite and $6,000 and a bunch of championship points. Second got 160 and $4,000. Third and fourth got 130 and $2,000. Yes, Kevin.
I have a hot take.
Tell me your hot take.
I think Incineroar is going to win Charlotte Regionals.
Now, is that a hot take because Incineroar is a very fiery cat? Or is it a hot take because other people would not believe that? Because I don't think that is true.
I think everyone believes that. Incineroar is pretty darn good, dude.
I think it's a hot take because it's trending.
I just remembered that I mentioned Primarina. I forgot to mention Incineroar earlier. Yeah, it's back. It's good. It has Fake Out, and they gave it Knockoff now as a TM. Also, for some reason, they decided to give it Helping Hand, too. Incineroar now has not only 5-move syndrome, but 8-move syndrome, because there's 8 different moves that work on it, and all of them work.
I can't hold this many moves.
Yeah, Fake Out. You got Knockoff. You have Helping Hand. You have Parting Shot. You have Snarl. The list goes on. It's actually kind of silly.
I think what happened when you went and went on your Primarina rant, I think you had already assumed that Incineroar was such a part of the meta.
It's just here now.
It's just here now, and everybody has to deal with it. And we all know that because you did mention in the Primarina rant that
the core
it deals with Incineroar kind of okay. And I thought, oh, that's funny. He didn't actually mention Incineroar. But it's because, again, it's just such a staple already. It's been 6 days.
I'm surprised they haven't nerfed it at all.
Right.
Like, they nerfed Pokemon like Zacian. They nerfed, just a handful of Pokemon in general. They do this every generation. They left it alone. It's like they didn't take 10 base stats from it in a random stat. They didn't do anything. They're just like, okay, yeah, this was fine. We're okay with 79% usage with no problems here.
Well, with Zacian, it's interesting because, like, you don't want to port over a legendary from another game and remind people how good that Pokemon that was the box art of the previous game was. You kind of want to, like, have it step back a little bit. But Incineroar, never having been on the box in the first place, was just like, yeah, I'm really good. And then when they moved it over, it's like, yeah, he's still really good. So we're not going to make him worse. What are we going to make him worse?
I think they're just happy that a starter gets so much competitive play. But you got a triple starter core right now that are getting a lot of that's getting a lot of competitive play. Rillaboom's also who would have guessed that just 4 years later, Rillaboom's still being played competitively.
That's right. And I mean, look no further than a Nino Pokebros Limitless Tour, where he just hosted one that was with quote Regulation F rules. And the winner of that was TJ Bahamut, Javier Parada, who went in with a Primarina, Rillaboom, Incineroar, Tornadus, Baxcalibur, and King Gambit.
There's that core.
There it is. The three starters right there.
Right next to each other. They're not even hiding it. Right there. Grass, Water, Fire. Good luck.
Absolutely.
And also, I love Steel Dragon Fairy in here too. Yeah, it's sneaked in here. You got the Fairy Prim. You got the Steel type King Gambit and then the Dragon type Baxcalibur.
Having two different cores is important.
Yeah.
Now, I love looking at Nino Proki Bros tournaments because, like, they always get such, like, high-caliber people, like, good people. Yeah. Go to a Limitless event online for a Nino Proki Bros event. It has tons of people. You don't – they're, like, it's the biggest on Limitless, like, hands down. He actually posted the top usage from the, quote, Regulation F ladder tours. And Incineroar, lo and behold, did come first.
First place.
Shocker.
And you know what's second place? A Defiant Pokemon.
That's true. Ogrepan did come in second.
Regular vanilla Ogrepan too. No mask. Maskless Ogrepan here.
Oh.
Just regular teal mask. Yeah.
It's very interesting. Coming in third was Rillaboom, then Fluttermane, then Tornadus, Urshifu, and Didi. Archaludon coming in eighth.
Okay.
This might be first tournament tryout kind of thing. But
I don't think Archaludon's bad. I don't think it's bad.
I think it's fun.
From when I played it, it was legit. So okay. I don't know. I think it's pretty good. We'll see in a couple months.
I do think that a lot of Pokemon will eventually outshine it. Just people are just trying to figure out what's good. Although maybe not. Maybe it'll actually, pop up there. Who knows?
Can we talk about the Hatterene in top 10, though?
Let's talk about it. Oh.
Expanding Force is back. Hatterene in top 10. Ursaluna not far behind it. Listen, Armourouge, you tried your best. Yeah, it was nice. But that speed said that wasn't doing it for us. We got a base 30 speed Pokemon now, or 29 or whatever it is.
What do you think about Iron Crown and Expanding Force on that?
I think that's nice too. I've tried Iron Crown. It's really good. It's very strong, especially if you have a speed booster Expanding Force on the Iron Crown. The one thing that I will say is that will not be a thing once Calyrex Shadow comes back and you get to do Expanding Force with a base 150 speed.
Oh,
Pokemon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You forgot about that, didn't you? Look at that guy.
Oh, no.
So he could have fun while he's here. Yeah. He could have fun if he wants.
Yeah, let it happen. Let it happen. Yeah. All right. And then let's see. Pokemon ranking. We have Ogrepan in number one. Oh.
Interesting. Is that that's probably like most wins.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So most wins is Ogrepan, Fluttermane, Tornadus, Incineroar in fourth. Chempao, Chiyu, Urshifu, Moongus, and Didi, Whimsicott. Gouging Fire, number 11.
Ooh, okay.
Iron Hands.
Sneaking in there, Gouging Fire.
Iron Hands falling to the very bottom of that top 12.
That's interesting. Yeah. Because
that thing at one point was truly number one, above Fluttermane by the end of it.
I'm surprised I'm not seeing any Raging Bolts here because I do see a lot of Raging Bolts on ladder, to be honest. It could just be because people didn't have the time to get it because this was December 17th. So that's very recently, right after the DLC came out. It's like the day after. It might be that reason because I do think Raging Bolt is legit and I think Raging Bolt is actually terrifying. Its stats just work for it, and with Terra you can really protect yourself from fairy Pokemon. So
let's do that. Let's look at that. If people brought on Raging Bolt, what of the top 10 would be threatened by that?
By Raging Bolt.
Right, like Incineroar, not so much.
Not
although,
really.
Yeah, no.
Urshifu Rapid Strike would be the first one that I see. Because the thing that Raging Bolt does is that it'll set up one or two Calm Minds and then just get its health back from like a Sinistra or like something that heals back. And you'll just become unkillable because that's all you need. You just priority Thunderclap everything.
Mm. All right. Well, hopefully in the next tournament, we'll see a change in this. Well, definitely in the next tournament, we'll see a change in this. These Pokemon will not be in this exact same order. A lot of these Pokemon will repeat. Not a lot of them will stay.
And Regulation F does exist on Showdown right now. If you guys want to go ahead and play it, I'm sure that our friend Griffin's going to release those stats once the new month comes out, and we will have a lot of fun things to talk about after the new year.
Totally.
2024 sports.
2024 sports. All right. Until then, I think that's going to be the podcast for today. I want to thank you so much for listening. By the time you see us next week, both of us will have experienced Christmas.
Whatever that means.
Whatever that means. The reckoning.
Make sure to get your Delibird raids done or whatever is coming out this week.
7-star Delibird raids. Go and get them. Apparently Brick Break is really good. It uses Aurora Veil and it's nasty.
Brick Break uses Aurora Veil or
Brick
breaks
Break? What? It breaks Aurora Veil. Apparently the Delibird does use Aurora Veil.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you're just coming up with strats to counter a Delibird.
I'm not coming up with strats. Pokemon Cast is coming up with strats.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve. He's doing a great job. I listen to every one of those podcasts. It's a good time. All right. Anyway, that's going to be a podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas if you celebrate it. Merry anything else if you celebrate that, and we'll see you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Regulation F.